Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Let's get it going. This is Late Night right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, tough way to start the show today. We'll get to the Celtics and all that, stuff going on with the Patriots, and of course, stuff to talk about with the Red Sox in terms of the bullpen and whatnot. But sad news today, as you heard in trending there, Nick Cafardo, who's been covering the Red Sox for years at the Boston Globe, passed away today at the age of 62. It was his scheduled day off, and he wanted to go to spring training and cover the team on his day off. Unbelievable. Just very, very bad news. You feel awful for him. You feel awful for his family. John Henry, of course, released a statement today. He said for over three decades, Nick was a fixture at Fenway Park and throughout ballparks across the country. His coverage was as consistent as the game itself. His opinions on the Red Sox and the most pressing issues facing Major League Baseball were constant, particularly through the prominent Sunday Night Baseball notes in the Boston Globe. The Cafardo family will always be a part of Boston baseball, and the Red Sox will honor Nick's legacy at the appropriate time. So the Red Sox will honor Nick Cafardo at some point this season. And I did not know Nick Cafardo personally, but from all the reaction you see today and into the evening, it's all been so positive. What a great guy Nick is. You never heard any bad things about Nick Cafardo. Now, I followed his stuff from a distance. Just the other night, we were talking about his column where he was talking about the pitch clock and how the Red Sox averaged 25.2 seconds in between pitches when we were having that conversation if the pitch clock was a good idea or a bad idea. He had a great column on that just the other day. And now this happens just a couple of days later. It's just awful news. And like I said, I did not know Nick personally, but everybody's reacted to this saying nobody had a bad word to say about Nick Cafardo. Lou Maloney said it today, just what a great guy Nick Cafardo was. And I would invite all of you to go to WEI.com and check out John Tomasi's article on his relationship with Nick Cafardo. I read it before I came on the air tonight. It is really good. So if you have a chance to read that article, go ahead and read that at WEI.com. So thoughts and, of course, your feeling for the family tonight, Nick Cafardo's family. I saw his son tweet tonight talking about all the well wishes that they got from everybody across the country. So you just feel awful for the Cafardo family and what a tragedy that was. All right, let's get into what's going on tonight with the Celtics. They're currently down 84-77. Kyrie Irving has been, quite frankly, awful tonight. He's already taken 19 shots. He's 5 of 19. In the first half of the game, there was two occasions in this one where he jogged back on defense. After one of them, he missed a layup. He just decided to casually jog down the court. And guess what Milwaukee did? On the other side of things, they turned that into a layup. By the way, Brian Barrett with you for the next 4 hours or so. Number 617-779-7937. You can tweet at me as well. At It's Brian Barrett on Twitter. All right. So the latest stuff with Kyrie Irving. So Kyrie Irving, of course, playing in the game tonight. He got to play with his friends in the All-Star game over the weekend. And now he's playing in this game tonight. And yesterday, most of you have seen this by now, he had a little bit, I don't want to say an altercation, but a verbal altercation, right, with Steve Volpett of the Boston Herald. So the back and forth was about that Kevin Durant video that surfaced. Remember, there was a video that surfaced where it appeared that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were having a conversation where Kyrie said two max slots. Now, I don't believe the video whatsoever. I don't believe they had that conversation because I don't think Kyrie Irving is dumb enough to have that conversation in the tunnel before he goes out to the All-Star game when he knows there are cameras around. Now, he said he didn't know they were filming it, and clearly he didn't. But you know that there could be camera phones around at that particular point in time. I sound old saying camera phones, but you know, people have phones in there. People in the media sometimes are in the tunnel or whatnot. Kyrie's not dumb enough to do that. If Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant were going to have that conversation, I'm sure they had it when they were having that lunch in Miami or dinner in Miami a couple days later. Or maybe they had it when they went out to a club in New York, or maybe when they were chilling in their hotel rooms in New York. They weren't going to have that conversation out in the open. So it was a stupid video to begin with. I never bought into it, but certainly fans across the country did buy into it. But anyway, So Steve Bolpet of the Boston Herald, who was on with Dale and Keefe earlier today, he was asking Kyrie Irving, do you want to pour water on this? Just put an end to what happened. And basically, he was inviting Kyrie Irving to say, that's not what we were talking about. That's all he was asking for, right? So this is what Kyrie Irving says. I don't have a private life when I'm out there in the NBA. Somebody wants to take a video. I mean, it is what it is. Pour water in it. I'm a human being talking to another best friend of mine. Another best friend of mine. So you have multiple best friends. That's confusing. But nonetheless, he says, like, it's just crazy. This is the stuff that just doesn't make the league fun. Like, it doesn't make the league fun. Nobody helps promote the league even more by doing BS like this or just fictitious putting things out there we're talking about. It's just crazy. I guess that's what you wanted, huh? I guess that's just what you wanted, huh? That's what he's saying to Steve Bolpetta of the Herald. It's my life, right? It's two people talking, having a conversation. If this was the real world, would it be anybody else's business? But it's a video of somebody assuming what we're talking about, right? Making an opinion about it. So why would I care about it? Why does that have an impact on my life? Why are you asking me those type of questions about cooling it off for what? I don't get it. All right. So I really don't understand why Kyrie Irving is so upset about this. I guess originally I can understand his perspective, like this video surfaces and people actually believe he's saying two max slots to Kevin Durant. Okay, I understand. It's a little frustrating from that perspective. But all Steve Bolpet of the Boston Herald is asking you to do is just say, okay, Kyrie, all you have to say is you didn't say two max slots. That's all you had to do. And then you attack Steve Bolpet of the Boston Herald for just asking a simple question. So a couple of things there. He said, you think this is what the fans care about? Yes, this is exactly what the fans care about. This is exactly what the fans care about. All the fans in this country, or not in this country, all the fans in this state, all the fans of the Boston Celtics, they care about your free agency. Can't you realize that? So yes, they care about it. When we have details where a couple of weeks ago, you go out there and you say, ask me about my free agency on July 1st. You said that. Then we find out that you had dinner with Kevin Durant in Miami, okay? And we also saw that you were the only guy out there when Kevin Durant was getting his MVP trophy. This is a guy that you have referred to as your best friend. And you're saying that talk to you on July 1st when it comes to free agency. So yes, Kyrie, I think it's pretty damn clear that fans would care about this. How dumb could Kyrie Irving be? He doesn't think fans care about this? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And he says to Steve Bolpet, this is what you wanted, right? He didn't take the video. He was actually giving you an opportunity to get out of it. Even if you really do plan to go to the Knicks, right? Even if Kyrie Irving really does plan to leave, you would at least want to pour water on this fire right now. Like, you don't want to come out and say, oh, yeah, that's what I was saying, right? He doesn't deny it. All you have to do is deny it. That's all he's saying. Even if you really do plan to leave, you're just creating more distractions for this team. That's what Kyrie Irving is doing by not just coming out right then and there and saying, yeah, exactly. You're right, Steve. I wasn't saying two max slots. That's all they were asking for. That's all they were asking Kyrie Irving for, was just deny the fact that you said two max slots. Because I understand the frustration a little bit, Kyrie. I don't understand why people bought into that either. I thought it was stupid. I don't think Kyrie Irving actually said two max slots. But you know what? It became a thing. It became a thing. And a lot of the reason it became a thing is because you've created this monster yourself, right? I don't think people would be so worried about Kyrie Irving and his free agency if he had just been sticking to what he said to the season ticket holders before the season, which is, I'll be here as long as you guys will have me, right? And then he kind of changes course midseason. All right, so that's the frustration. And then I don't understand why Kyrie Irving thinks that creating distractions for himself and his teammates are a good thing. Because clearly, Kyrie, that's what you're doing right now. You're creating more distractions for your team. So that just absolutely baffled me. It absolutely baffled me. And then, if you remember, he did this interview with Rachel Nichols over the All-Star break, but then that aired yesterday, okay? So the first thing that I want to point out here is Rachel Nichols asked him about the struggles of the team. And this is what Kyrie Irving had to say about that. It's been a trying year for us because we basically have a bunch of young men in our locker room that feel like they're capable of doing a lot more than what they're doing. And that's okay, but there is a maturity that you have to have. Professionalism. You have to showcase every single day, and that's what the great ones do. Again, Kyrie, the same thing again. When this team has problems, when you're asked about the problems with the team, it's the young guys. Again, he's blaming the young guys. Rachel Nichols is asking about the struggles of the team, and who is he blaming? Again, he decides that he is going to blame the young guys. The young guys, that's what he always does. We can remember back to the Orlando game, right? After that loss to the Magic, what does he say? The young guys just don't know what it takes to be a championship team, what it takes every day. And if they think it's hard now, what do they think it'll be like when we're trying to get to the finals? So just 2-3 days ago at the All-Star break, still blaming the young guys. He did it after the Orlando game. And remember what happened after the Orlando game? Remember why Kyrie was upset then? Brad Stevens, as the coach, draws up a play with two options. And one of the options was Kyrie gets the ball from Al Horford after Gordon Hayward inbounds it. They didn't go with that option. Gordon Hayward passed it to Jason Tatum, and Jason Tatum took a fadeaway, and he missed the shot at the end of the game. So Kyrie Irving is saying that about the young guys after the game. He's frustrated with Gordon Hayward, he's frustrated with Al Horford, and he's undressing Brad Stevens before they go out for the final play. Remember, he's yelling at the coach. He's yelling at Brad Stevens. He yells at Al Horford. So think about it from the young guy's perspective. He's blaming them. And if you're Jason Tatum, you're somebody that is supposed to be Kyrie's buddy. You went away with him last year. You got that Duke connection, right? Last summer, for a vacation with you and Kevin Durant and Jason Tatum. And the play went to Jason Tatum. How do you think Jason Tatum feels when you're saying that you should be getting the ball? Like, Jason Tatum's like, I'm pretty good here, Kyrie. I kind of want to be an option on this team, and you're so upset that I got the shot at the end of the game. He doesn't understand the trickle-down effects of this thing. And he doesn't take any accountability for what's gone wrong with the team. He just says it's been a trying season. It's been a trying season. That's what he says. And he talks about we have a lot of young men. So he's blaming the young men in the locker room, not himself, right? Because Kyrie Irving is the same guy that before the season said he would be an idiot to leave. We're going to be pretty bleeping good, was his quote. We have it pretty bleeping good here. And when things have not gone well for Kyrie Irving, he has decided what he is going to do is he is going to point the finger at everybody else around him. Okay, he's not going to point at himself. And when Rachel Nichols asked the question about the struggles, Kyrie Irving should be coming out and saying, this is my team, which he has said multiple times, and I have to be better. We have to figure out a way to get this to a better position. We have to get this thing back on track. And I have to be the guy that does it because this is supposed to be my team. Kyrie Irving just, it doesn't seem like he ever knows what he wants. He wanted out of Cleveland. Cool. Then he wants to call and apologize to LeBron a couple of months later or a year and a half later because of the fact that he's playing with young guys now. And he wanted to stay with the Celtics. He wanted his team. And then he wants to leave, or he could possibly want to leave. And when things are tough, oh, hey, guys, not my fault. Look at these young guys. Well, hey, don't look at me at the end of the game. Look at the young guys over here. This is on them. And you have a chance to kind of repair the image through this Rachel Nichols interview. And you just continue to make things worse. Continue to make things worse. As if they weren't even bad enough, right? Or as if they weren't bad enough, considering that you didn't play against the Pistons or the Sixers because of a knee sprain. And I'm not saying your knee wasn't sprained, because clearly it was. But then you play 25 minutes with LeBron and Kevin Durant in the All-Star game. Are you kidding me? Do you have any self-awareness? Any self-awareness? So in the past week, Kyrie Irving has gone after Steve Bolpet of the Boston Herald for trying to help Kyrie to say, hey, no, we weren't saying two max slots in that video. So he's gone after that reporter. He went on Rachel Nichols' show, made an idiot of himself, blaming the young guys. Again, I don't even think he realizes he does it. When she references the struggles, he just blames the young guys. I don't even think he realizes he actually does that anymore. Okay, so he did that this week. Then, of course, he plays in an All-Star game for 25 minutes when he didn't play in the previous two games. That's what Kyrie Irving has done this week. All in a week's work, Kyrie Irving has been able to do that. Now, he said a couple of other things to Rachel Nichols as well. He was talking about the locker room drama, okay? That everything is out there. She was referring to his free agency and that there's been a lot of drama that surrounds the Celtics. This is what Kyrie says. A lot of people don't realize on the outside that a lot of things that are said get into locker rooms. Like a lot of things that are put in headlines get into locker rooms. Like the media has broken up locker rooms. Like it's been done before. Like you say something that's misinterpreted, and instead of addressing it with the person or individual, like human interaction, you read it on your phone or you read it in a text. Someone says, hey, did you see what this person said about you? And it's your teammate. And you're like, wait, I didn't hear that. And I hold back. You don't say anything to him. And then throughout the season, it ends up coming out again. And it's just like, man, that's not the way life is supposed to go. Okay, so now we're blaming the media for the issues in the locker room. I just want to ask Kyrie Irving this. What is it that has gotten into the locker room from the media? There hasn't been any stories like that. Everything that we've reacted to with Kyrie Irving are things that he's actually said. We're reacting to Kyrie Irving saying, talk to me on July 1st about free agency. We're reacting to Kyrie Irving throwing the young guys under the bus against Orlando and now in that Rachel Nichols interview. That's what we've been reacting to with Kyrie Irving. We haven't been reacting to like some stories that are sourced. That's not what we have been reacting to. We're reacting to things that actually Kyrie Irving has said openly in the public, which is great for Kyrie Irving in terms of if you're in the media in Boston, because he says something new every day. But nonetheless, we're not making up any stories. None of this is fake stuff. Everybody is reacting to stuff that Kyrie Irving says. So if you don't want to create distractions in the locker room, maybe you should look at yourself. He's blaming the media for the issues in the Celtics locker room. You're the guy that's calling everybody out. You're the guy that's creating these distractions. You're the guy that keeps talking about your free agency. It's not anybody else. It's you, Kyrie. That's what's going on right now. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Bill in Malden. What's going on, Bill?
Yeah, I mean, I just found that he's unhinged at this point. You know, I mean, this kind of an attitude, you know, he's got to learn from the best, Brady. You just play the game and keep your mouth shut. And at this point, he's made it very difficult on his teammates. I mean, when he walks into the locker room after that last night, it's got to be uncomfortable for everybody. And Stevens doesn't seem to be putting any kind of his foot on his throat or trying to, you know, get him in line at all.
No, I agree with you, Bill, and I appreciate the call. Number 617-779-7937. You're exactly right when it comes to Stevens. No backbone for Stevens, and I would say that, shockingly, no backbone for Danny Ainge when it comes to Kyrie Irving. Danny Ainge said something along the lines this week that Kyrie, in terms of giving him an excuse, he says he doesn't control when he talks to the media. Okay, Kyrie Irving's a star. He talks to the media. That's a requirement. It doesn't mean he has to blame other people every time he talks to the media. So Danny Ainge is making an excuse for the guy. He also said that Danny Ainge said that Kyrie Irving is tired of all the drama. He's tired of the drama. He creates all the drama. He lives for this stuff. He creates all this crap that goes into the locker room and whatnot. He's sick of the drama. He's sick of talking to the media. He lives off this. And for Danny Ainge, like the gritty Celtic from the 1980s, he's the guy that's getting walked all over by Kyrie Irving, because Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge aren't saying anything to Kyrie Irving because of the fact that Kyrie Irving holds the cards. Kyrie Irving's the one that's going to be a free agent, and they want to sign him in the offseason. That's what it's about. They have no control over Kyrie Irving. They let him say whatever he wants to say. Yeah, I wish, to Bill's point, that he would learn something from Tom Brady, but clearly that is not going to happen. Tom Brady gets mad at guys, but he lights them up on the sideline, right? He'll yell at Julian Edelman. He'll yell at an offensive coordinator in the past, to Bill O'Brien or something along those lines. But Tom Brady's not going to come out and throw receivers under the bus. He's not going to come out and say, yeah, well, if only my receivers were better. That's essentially what Kyrie Irving's doing, the basketball version. Yeah, well, we got a lot of young guys here. We got a lot of young guys on the team. It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable that Kyrie Irving continues to do this each and every day. I thought this would stop after like a couple of days, but at this particular point in time, it feels like this is just going to go on forever. So a couple of things that I pick up from Kyrie Irving and where Kyrie Irving's at, because I don't think any of us can really diagnose what Kyrie Irving is thinking, because he just seems to say anything that's on his mind. Remember, this is the same guy that at one point said the earth was flat, and he stuck by that for like 2 years. So this is the guy we're dealing with right now. So here's a couple of thoughts I have on Kyrie Irving. So I believe that if Kyrie Irving wants people to completely turn on him, he's done his job there. So if that was one of his goals, congratulations, Kyrie. You have done that, because the people in this town are turning on you. You're calling up LeBron to apologize, somebody who everybody in this town despises because of the times he has beat the Celtics in the postseason. Okay, that's like the biggest rivalry. Everybody loved Kyrie, that he was coming to the Celtics, because he wanted to get away from LeBron. We're all like, hey, this is great. You don't want to play with LeBron? Well, we don't like LeBron either, so that's great. You can come play for the Celtics. And then you tell the people of a great fan base in Boston of the Celtics that, hey, I want to stay here as long as you'll have me. And then a couple months later, you say, talk to me on July 1st. So if you're trying to lose the fan base, you have done that, Kyrie. If you want everyone to turn on you, congratulations, you have done it. Another thing I'll look at, I believe that Kyrie Irving does want to play with Kevin Durant, okay? I think that is crystal clear. They both slobber all over each other. Durant has referred to Kyrie as one of his best friends, and Kyrie has referred to Kevin Durant as one of his best friends. They were just hanging out at Miami over the All-Star break, or a couple of days after the All-Star break. I guess technically the break, but after the All-Star game. You get what I'm saying. So they've been hanging out. Okay, he was the only one out there, as I mentioned, when Kevin Durant got his trophy. So I believe he does want to play with Kevin Durant. And I just believe that Kyrie Irving has so much trouble making up his mind. And when he's in a situation that he doesn't like, immediately he wants to think, eject. Remember, LeBron, okay, don't want to play with you anymore. I won my championship. I want to have my own team. Okay, then he wants to play for the Celtics. He thinks they're going to be really good. And then what does Kyrie Irving decide? Oh, Kyrie Irving decides, you know what? I think I may want to go somewhere else. Or at least he's hinted at it, right? Saying, July 1st, talk to me then. So I think he's like, oh, you know, I was thinking about this would be really cool to have my own team in Boston with all these young players, maybe make a championship run. I saw what they did without me last year, making it to game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Maybe I could do that. And then the team struggles a little bit and he says, you know what? Maybe I don't want to be playing with all these young guys. Maybe it's not going to be great for me long term. So now he wants to play with Kevin Durant. But then also from that, I don't believe that Kyrie Irving is going to have the gumption, if you will, to say, you know what? I'm going to pass on the extra $49 million because that's what it would be. He would have to sign a 4-year deal somewhere else and he would lose out on $49 million. Kyrie Irving is somebody that has had multiple knee issues. Okay. We just saw him miss the playoffs last year. Just had a knee sprain the other week, although he's good enough to play in the All-Star game. And we know back in the finals in 2015, he missed all but game one of the finals that year because of a knee injury. So I don't believe Kyrie Irving is going to do what LeBron James has done in the past and Kevin Durant has done in the past, where they're like, okay, and I get LeBron's on a 4-year deal now, I'll sign a 1+1, meaning I'll sign on for 1 year, and then the second year will be an option. I don't believe Kyrie Irving has the balls to do that. I really don't. That's why I do think ultimately Kyrie stays here. But what I'm saying is, I think he really does want to play with Kevin Durant by everything he's put out there. Now, the other thing I mentioned is Kyrie Irving, as I said, don't think he's going to pass up on $49 million extra dollars to stay with the Celtics. So I think Kyrie Irving realizes that he only has this power for another, what, 4 to 5 months, where he can be this guy that is trying to hold everything over the organization. He can be this way. He can be moody like this because everybody has to cater to him right now. Everybody has to cater to Kyrie because everybody in that organization wants Kyrie Irving to come back. So now all this attention of possibly being a free agent, all that stuff now, like LeBron had all that power years ago, and we're asking, where is he going to go? Kevin Durant has that power. Where is he going to go? Kawhi Leonard had that power, and he decided to get a trade, but there's the power now. Where's Kawhi Leonard going to go? Kyrie Irving is soaking that up because he realizes that he's not going to leave. Kyrie Irving, I guarantee you, he's not leaving $49 million on the table. I just don't see it based on the injuries. So he's realizing, okay, I got 5 or 6 more months of this thing where I can basically be a diva, do whatever I want, get out of control, do whatever I want to, or say whatever I want about my teammates. But that time's running out. Kyrie Irving realizes, I'm not going to be able to do that this much longer. Okay, it's not going to be much longer that I'm going to be able to do this to my teammates or hold this power over the organization. That's where Kyrie Irving's at, is he wants to continue to be a diva because, remember, Anthony Davis got some attention where it's like, oh, what would the Celtics look like with Anthony Davis? And right after that, Kyrie says the comment about, ask me on July 1st about my free agency, because Kyrie knows he holds the cards in that. They're not trading for Anthony Davis, Kyrie knows, if he's not there. So Kyrie's like, hold on, you guys are talking about what you'd give up for Davis, what Davis would do to the Celtics and all this different type of stuff. Well, you could assign me first. So I want to make sure that you guys know how important I am to the organization. Make sure that you recruit me. Kyrie wants to be recruited. You guys still got to recruit me. That's where Kyrie Irving's at. All right, a lot more to get into tonight. We'll continue to talk about Kyrie Irving. Celtics right now with the Bucks. Close game. You got about 3 seconds left. It's 98-97. So we'll have a final when we come back. And also, I want to get to the Red Sox bullpen tonight because Alex Cora made an interesting comment today about what the plan is going forward with that group. We'll get to it all. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
Losing sleep over the Sox, Pats, B's, and C's? We get it. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEI.
A lot of guys would not have made that phone call. Mm-hmm. Why did you make the phone call?
Well, I think that, you know, it takes a very, very strong individual to, you know, replay a lot of the experiences that you've had, you know, a lot of anger that you, you know, had built up, you know, that where you didn't address the situation and you allowed it to fester, and then it was just combustion. Like, it was just, it came out, and it just, you know, and then you realize, like, hey, man, I didn't have to deal with that the same way I dealt with that. You know, I didn't have to go about it that same way. Now, mind you, I have no regrets in terms of any decision that I made, you know, going about my individual journey and what I want and foresee for my career. And yeah, apologizing, that was a step for me just to move forward in my life.
Oh, that's your guy. That's your leader. He keeps telling you, Celtics fans, that's your leader, Kyrie Irving. Does anything make you want to throw up more than that interview with Rachel Nichols? Yeah, needed to be the bigger man. Call up LeBron. LeBron, I need to call him up and to apologize. Does this guy realize that he contradicts everything he says? He contradicts everything. He wanted to get traded. Like, he's completely contradicting his actions. Now you're saying, oh, I was actually in the wrong. So this whole thing that you wanted to get out of Cleveland, now you're essentially saying you were in the wrong, that LeBron, the way he was treating you, is actually right? Think about it. Kyrie Irving learned from a pretty bad leader. I get LeBron James has won his championships and whatnot, but that's the leadership you were learning from. That's the leadership you've now taken to the Celtics. All right? Nobody has called LeBron James a great leader. All right? And if they have, they're idiots. Because LeBron James is the same guy who's supposed to be this great friend who was in Las Vegas with Dwayne Wade. He was in Las Vegas with Dwayne Wade when he was still a member of the Heat, and he was figuring out where he was going. He made his decision to go back to Cleveland. They were writing the letter on the plane, and Dwayne Wade was in the plane, and LeBron didn't tell him. And Dwayne Wade opted out of his contract and never made up that money. He didn't even tell his best friend he was leaving. Okay, LeBron just does what's best for LeBron. And Kyrie now is saying, I'm just going to be doing what's best for Kyrie. So what he wants to do is he wants to blame everybody else. And talking about LeBron, you're contradicting yourself, Kyrie. The whole reason you wanted to get a trade was because you wanted to get away from LeBron. You wanted your own team. Now you're saying that he was right blaming the young guys. Why? Why is Kyrie Irving saying that? Because it's convenient to his narrative. That's what it is. It's convenient to his narrative. What has Kyrie Irving been pushing the whole season? This is on the young guys. Just said it to Rachel Nichols 2 days ago. Said it after the Orlando Magic game. It's the young guys' fault. That's where our struggles are. That's where they're at. That's what he's saying. The struggles are because we have a young team. So he wants to just blame everybody else. Like LeBron in the past. Remember what LeBron has done. How many times did he blame Kevin Love? He said, you're either in or out on Twitter. Put that on social media. He blamed Kyrie. He was upset that Kyrie had a game in his first year with the Cavaliers where he didn't have an assist. So he would get mad at those guys, blame everything on those guys, and not take any accountability himself. Same thing now has happened with Kyrie Irving. He's being the same thing that LeBron James was. The thing that he didn't want to be, he's now turned into it, and now he's acknowledging the fact that, oh yeah, I do actually want to be like LeBron James. So now he's actually acknowledging that LeBron, who he didn't like being around, he actually thought that was the right thing. Okay, he actually believes that's the right thing now. Unbelievable, because it caters to what his narrative is. The other thing I would want to get to here, the Celtics just lost to the Bucks, 98-97. And I want to point this out. Remember last year what we said about Brad Stevens? During the playoffs and whatnot, what was Brad Stevens? This guy's a genius. Brad Stevens is an absolute genius. All the inbound plays that he drew up. Remember he had that great one against the Philadelphia 76ers where somehow Al Horford was like wide open underneath the basket? Wide open. He's 6'10". He's wide open for a layup underneath the basket. Okay? And they win the game that way, right? So they figure out a way to get him wide open to win the game. And we're saying all this stuff about Brad Stevens. Oh, he's getting more out of less. Remember, he beat Giannis and the Bucks in the playoffs last year, did Brad Stevens' team. They beat the 76ers with Joel Embiid and that crew and J.J. Redick and company, right? An undermanned team. They beat all these guys, and we were so high on Brad Stevens. Tonight at the end of the game, he draws up an inbounds play, gets it to Kyrie. Kyrie just dribbles to his left and throws one up with his left hand. A terrible shot at the end of the game. Marcus Morris is crying about a foul call or whatever, but I just saw Kyrie going up there and throwing one up with his left hand. It wasn't even like a Brad Stevens play. At least draw some action up. Like in this game tonight, okay, Al Horford was tremendous. He ends up with 21, 17, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. Jason Tatum was really good in this game. He was 7 of 13 from the field. He had 17 points. Okay, you look at somebody along the lines of Jaylen Brown. He was really good in this game. He had 15 points. He had 3 of his 4 3-point attempts. Let's get somebody else involved. Kyrie Irving on the night, 9 of 27. 9 of 27 on the night, and the only option on the play, maybe there's more options, maybe this is just Kyrie. Kyrie just goes to his left hand and throws it up. You're down a point at the end of the game, a critical game against the Milwaukee Bucks, and that's the play that Brad Stevens draws up in the end. Just an isolation thing to Kyrie Irving. I could have called that play. I could have made up that play. I thought Brad Stevens was supposed to be this X's and O's genius, if you will. And that's the play he comes up with at the end of the game tonight in a 98-97 game. 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3.5 hours or so. Let's get to Mike, who's in North Providence tonight. What's going on, Mike?
Hi, Brian. Yeah, you know, building upon what you said, I think, you see, Kyrie, of course, was really bad shooting tonight. But at the same time, he is a great scorer. And I watch Michael Jordan have games like that. This just happens. You know?
Timing's not good, though, Mike.
Michael Jordan, I watched Michael Jordan have games like that. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in this game combined to shoot 22 shots. Now, my memory serves me correctly. They were carrying this team in the playoffs last year.
Yes.
The games that really count. And Brown, in particular, had 2 30-point games against, who was it again? The Milwaukee Bucks, right? But evidently, you know what? It's very important to get Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris, who both were awful shooting from the field in the playoffs last year, just as many shots.
So sick of Marcus Morris. Okay, we understand at the beginning of the season he shot the ball well. Great. Why is he playing 31 minutes tonight, and why is Jaylen Brown playing 24? Marcus Morris, 4 of 12, 3 of 10 from three-point territory. Okay, yeah. Marcus Morris, all he does is he's a black hole. He gets the ball. It's not moving anywhere else. He just completely stops the offense. That's what he does. Jaylen Brown in this game, 6 of 9, 3 of 4 from three-point territory. I don't understand why Jaylen Brown is getting 6 or 7 less minutes than Marcus Morris in this game. Right now, Jaylen Brown, really, for the past 2 to 3 months, has been a significantly better player than Marcus Morris, not to mention the fact he's a better defender than Marcus Morris. So it was great that you got some contributions from Marcus Morris at the beginning of the season. But at this particular point in time, and for the future of this organization, Jaylen Brown is way more important. And Jaylen Brown has the higher upside right now. Put him on the damn floor more than Marcus Morris. I don't understand this loyalty to Marcus Morris, who's going to be gone after the season anyway.
Yeah, and the thing that really drives me crazy is just, I think that on a fundamental level, a lot of people, including a lot of the sports writers in this area, don't seem to actually understand the way basketball really works. That the better scorers you devote more shots to, and the role players you give fewer shots to, because you're going to get more points total this way. All you need to do is look at the Warriors, and that's how it's run. This team lost tonight because Brown and Tatum didn't shoot enough. Full stop. The end. They lost by 1 point. You go and give them 15. You give them, 15 shots for each of them, maybe more, maybe 17 for Tatum, and they win. They actually score the extra points. They're up by 3 or 4 points at the end of the game instead of being down, because this is how it works. And on this team, somehow Brad thinks that it's important to get everybody shots. Which is not something, if you look at Phil Jackson, if you look at Greg Popovich, if you look at Doc when he ran our team, if you look at Steve Kerr as he runs the Warriors right now, they don't do that. They funnel into their best players. That is the paradigm of winning championships. And on our team, it's scattered around. I'd like to point out one last thing. They had 6 free throw attempts in this game. They are dead last in the NBA in free throw attempt rate. That means that per possession, they're the least likely team in basketball to get a free throw. And that'd be like the Red Sox being last in walks. This is an awful thing to be. You're not going to win a championship playing like this.
Yeah. Great point, Mike. I appreciate it. 617-779-7937 if you want to grab his line. A lot of great stuff there. And this is what I also want to point out. And it's something I kind of harped on the other night as well. There was never a pecking order established with this team. And you need to draw up more stuff. Mike pointed this out as Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown continue to mature as basketball players. Not to mention the fact they're better basketball players right now than Marcus Morris. I'm sorry. Marcus Morris is an isolation player, and everybody on the defensive side of the ball knows Marcus Morris gets the ball, black hole, he's going to shoot. Okay, Jaylen Brown, if you saw him coming up to court tonight, he is flying. Defenses cannot handle that speed, especially when he's running off screens and whatnot. They get him on the move. Jaylen Brown is very tough to defend. Jason Tatum, they had nobody on the floor that could defend Jason Tatum. Marcus Morris, the other team, that's a gift when Marcus Morris decides, oh, I'm going to go into Marcus Morris mode. One of the worst things that happened to this team, besides all the stupid crap that Kyrie Irving has said, is Marcus Morris having a good beginning to the season, a good start to the season, because that empowered Marcus Morris to think that he should be taking the same amount of shots as the Jason Tatums and the Jaylen Browns of the world. And that's on Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens doesn't call any plays or anything along those lines to get Jason Tatum going and get Jaylen Brown going. Most NBA teams, right, they look at this and they say, oh, okay, this guy's hot. Let's get it to that guy. Let's get it to this guy. Let's get it to Jaylen. Let's get it to Jason Tatum. But this team, it's like they want to be a great, want to have a great culture. And really, the reality is the culture sucks right now, okay? The culture sucks, and you want everybody, you want to play the beautiful game where everybody's getting shots. You look at a team like the Warriors, you know Durant and Curry are going to get like 18 to 20. Klay Thompson's going to be around there, as Mike pointed out. We look at a team like the Raptors. Okay, it's Kawhi's team, then it's going to be Kyle Lowry's team. We look at the Bucks, we know it's going to be Giannis taking the most shots. And we know after that, it's going to be Chris Middleton. All right? We look at the Sixers, it's going to be Embiid. It's going to be Jimmy Butler taking the most shots. We know all these teams, and I get the Sixers have issues, but we get all these teams. They have this hierarchy. The Celtics have never established a hierarchy, and they have 24 games left in the season. They still don't know who the second best player on the team is. They don't know who the second best player on the team is. At this point in the season, that is alarming. Absolutely alarming. In the postseason, who are you going to ask to step up? Because I know this, Marcus Morris is going to continue to chuck up shots. He's playing for a contract. He's playing for a contract right now. That's what he's looking for. Let's get to Andrew in Haverhill. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, what's going on? Did you read the El Press blog earlier today about Kyrie Irving?
I didn't see it. What'd he say?
He said he was so done with Kyrie Irving and that Kyrie Irving is the absolute worst. And he likened him to LeBron James. I cannot stand Kyrie Irving. He is LeBron James. Listen, I don't care if Kyrie comes into the season and then halfway through the season says, I'm going to do what's best for me in the off season. Wherever I sign, I don't owe anybody anything. That's fine with me. That's great. But don't say in the off season, don't say at the end of the off season that I want to be a Boston Celtic and I want to see my number retired in the Raptors. Don't say that crap. This guy is absolute poison. I cannot stand him. And if you're telling me the worst spot that the Celtics will be in is that Kyrie Irving leaves to go to the Knicks or go wherever the hell he wants to go, and we're left with building around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I'm absolutely fine with that. I cannot stand this guy. He is absolutely LeBron James Jr. He thrives on all this drama, and then when he creates it, he bitches and he cries that he hates the NBA media, he hates the media, he hates all this stuff. Dude, you are the one who is creating all of this crap. Yeah. You are the one who's doing all of this. So don't come out and say you can't stand it. When you're going up to Kevin Durant saying, oh, two max contracts, this is our time, and like obviously you're talking about the Knicks. I don't want to hear that crap. You are LeBron James Jr., and you are the absolute worst.
I appreciate the phone call, Andrew. Great stuff. Andrew's thoughts are what a lot of you are thinking tonight with Kyrie Irving. People are sick of him. Has anybody's Q rating dropped more than Kyrie Irving's in the past 6 months? Everybody loved the guy. And that's another good point. He did a commercial talking about getting his jersey retired in the Boston Garden. Okay, he did a commercial. And he's talking about, oh, ask me on July 1st now. It's unbelievable. Okay, the one reason that you would have to keep Kyrie Irving, the one reason I would even contemplate keeping Kyrie Irving, because I'm like most of you, I'm sick of the guy. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Who can sleep when there's so much Boston sports to talk about? This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, so the Celtics lose 98-97 tonight to the Milwaukee Bucks. Kyrie Irving missed a shot at the end of the game. Tried like a lefty floater from about 6 feet out, I should say. Genius Brad Stevens called the play up. Unbelievable. Let's just isolate Kyrie Irving, who was 9 of 27 from the field, and let him go to work to try to win the game. How about Brad Stevens? Goes from the genius, making all these great plays last year, drawing them all up on his clipboard. This guy can't run his nose this year. Brad Stevens cannot run his own nose. He doesn't know how to manage egos. Brad was on a team that was on the come up, right? Nobody expected them with Isaiah Thomas to make these runs. So everything he did was great. Last year without Kyrie and without Gordon Hayward, there wasn't a lot of ego there. Al Horford is a star type player. He's a number two, number three option, but he was like the highest profile guy on the team. And nobody said anything negatively about Brad Stevens because Horford was that leader. But now with the egos on the team, with Kyrie creating problems, Brad Stevens can't run his own nose, and his point guard is calling everybody out. Okay, so Brad Stevens has failed as a coach this year. Complete underachievement by Brad Stevens right now. By the way, here is Stevens after the game tonight.
Good game. Two good teams. Played hard. Both teams played hard. A little rusty at the start, as you probably would expect, but it's a good game.
What can the guys take away from a game like this?
You know, I thought we stayed with it. I thought we stayed together. It's, you know, certainly not worth celebrating when you get beat. So there were good things, but there are things that we can do better, and we'll hopefully do that.
And that last play, Brad, was the first look there to try to get Marcus on that back cut, and if Kyrie come up, like it played out.
Yep.
With the 3.5-second differential, what goes into that?
Was the first look there?
3.5-second differential. What goes into that decision not to foul there and to try to go for the win at the end?
Yeah, that's a tough one. But, you know, I felt like, you know, if we had 2 seconds left, we were going to get a reasonable look, or at least a look at the basket. And so, you know, rolled with that. And it actually ended up as good as it could have ended up, other than turning them over quickly, you know, with the shot clock violation. But I felt good about our last action. It looked like we might have a layup opportunity there. You know, obviously, and then you got Kyrie coming up to the top, and you feel good about that all the time.
So this season low, 38% from the field for you guys. Do you take away the fact that only lost by one in a tough environment, just 6 free throws? You know, the defense was looked to be pretty strong there all night to keep you guys in the game.
The defense was pretty good all night, although I thought we let our guard down a little bit and got, you know, they got a little comfortable shooting at one point. But, you know, we just couldn't buy a bucket there for stretches, and that hurt us. And they did a great job. You know, they're great at the rim, and we made some, you know, we struggled in the first at the rim, as you do against them, because they're all coming. And then we were a little bit better of kicking it out and finding the right guys in the second.
Every play more than 40 minutes in regulation for the first time all season. Is that just important game, just coming after the All-Star break?
No, just we're down 4 at the start of the fourth and down 8 with 10:32, and so I decided to go back with him quickly. And he had a little bit of a rhythm. He had struggled to get his rhythm going, and like I said, everybody looked rusty, but then, you know, he got it going towards the end of the third, so didn't want him to sit very long.
All right, a couple things there from Brad Stevens. So the first thing is this. Apparently one of the options on the play was Marcus Morris, like, cutting to the basket or something. My question would be, Brad, why the hell is Marcus Morris in your final game plan, if you will, or in your final play of the game that you drop? Why is Marcus Morris involved? Why isn't it Jason Tatum? Why isn't it Jaylen Brown? Both those guys were significantly better than Marcus Morris was tonight. Marcus Morris has not been good in like a month. Why is Marcus Morris the other guy involved in the play? I want it to be Horford. I want it to be Tatum. I want it to be Jaylen Brown, those guys, those are the guys that have been playing really well as of late. Those are the guys that have been playing really well. So why is Marcus Morris involved? And oh, by the way, Brad Stevens, do we really believe that if you drop a play with an option for Marcus Morris or an option for somebody else, that Kyrie Irving is actually going to entertain that? We know what Kyrie Irving's about. Kyrie Irving wanted to play hero. You know what Kyrie Irving wanted to do? Because he was terrible tonight. Kyrie Irving was 9 of 27 from the field. You know what Kyrie Irving wanted to do? He wanted to hit that shot at the end of the game, and you know what he would have done? He would have come out and started saying all this stuff about the media, everybody that criticized him for playing in the All-Star game. He would have taken shots at all those people. He would have taken shots at all the people that have been criticizing him and the Celtics. That's what he wanted to do. Kyrie wanted his moment at the end of the game so he could stick it in everybody's face, and it didn't work out. And he was 9 of 27 from the field. Is Kyrie Irving after the game tonight? Is it the media's fault about this, Kyrie? Because apparently the locker room issues, as you pointed out this week to Rachel Nichols of ESPN, the locker room issues are the media's fault. So is it the media's fault tonight that you couldn't execute at the end of the game? Or really, quite frankly, you couldn't execute at all at the game, during the game? That's what I would like to know. The other thing I would point out, and we were talking about this briefly, Kyrie Irving, okay? The only way you're keeping this guy is if Anthony Davis is coming to Boston. That's the only way. I mean, come on. You're not dealing with this on a 5-year contract. This crap, not to mention the guy's injury prone, you're going to deal with this guy. Where does it get you? You're the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference right now. And you could say, oh, well, Brian, last year they were the number two, number one seed for most of the year with Kyrie Irving. Okay. And it was a much worse Eastern Conference. Okay. We're looking at the Bucks, who are a real threat now. They haven't lost back-to-back games all season. You just lost to them. The Raptors with Kawhi, real threat. 76ers with Embiid and Simmons in that group. That's a good team. All right, so it's not the same Eastern Conference. What does it get you right now? It gets you fourth in the Eastern Conference with Kyrie Irving. You think I want that guy as my main guy? All the crap that you've been through this year, what's going to happen after he signs on the dotted line, $49 million more than anywhere else, $188, whatever it's going to be. What is it going to be like when Kyrie Irving has complete control of this thing? And if things are going wrong in 2 years, because he just wants to take the money, right? He wants to make sure he gets his money. What's going to be happening in a year and a half when Kyrie Irving's upset with the young guys still? He's going to be begging for a trade. You want to deal with that crap if you don't have Anthony Davis, who is like the Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett of this generation, at least from a talent perspective. And I get he doesn't have the wins that those guys had in terms of playoff success and whatnot. But he has that type of talent. So unless you get that guy, no way should they even contemplate giving Kyrie Irving a 5-year max contract. I'm rolling with Tatum and Jaylen Brown and that group of players. And at some point, maybe go after a Damian Lillard in a trade, a Bradley Beal in a trade, one of these disgruntled stars. Danny Ainge has proven he can put teams together. You can find another piece. But it's not going to be that guy on a 5-year contract without Anthony Davis. I can guarantee you that. All right, a lot more to get into tonight. We'll get into the Red Sox. Alex Cora, an interesting thought on his bullpen. Interesting comments today. We'll continue to talk about Kyrie Irving. How much blame does he have for tonight's game and really everything going on with this team? And also Brad Stevens, because everybody loves Brad Stevens in this town. About a year ago, even less than a year ago, about 8 months ago, even at the start of this season, everybody loved him. How about Brad Stevens? How upset are you with the job Brad is doing right now? You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.